Before we begin our study, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. The book of Numbers ends with a review of the stages in the journey that Israel had made from Egypt through the wilderness. And then the book of Deuteronomy, which we start this weekend, begins with a review of some of the key events in that journey. And this teaches us something. When you're getting ready for the next key time in your life, it's useful to review your journey. And it's useful to do several things. One of them is to review, which means to look back. To look back, because when you want to move forward, it's good to look back and to see how far you've come, to see where you've come from, to measure your progress. I used to be in this place, in this condition, and here's where I am now. Thank you, Lord, for the progress. Now, reviewing spiritually is not nostalgia. So I like to get together with my family and grandchildren, siblings, and remember odds and ends about things that we've experienced. But that's not the same as doing a spiritual review of what God has been doing in your life. And to look back, as we see in Deuteronomy, means you look back and you see the ups and the downs. You see the successes and the failures. And you'll notice this, that Moses looks back and he says, these things worked well, these things were terrible. He even had this idea about the spies. It was a good idea as far as he was concerned. It turned out to be a disaster. Those spies gave a terrible report that had an effect on everybody. But Moses looked back honestly, and he was able to look at the ups and the downs of Israel. And he teaches us something also through that that's useful today if you're having to speak to other people about why you support Israel in the current conflict with Hamas in Gaza. You can see from Moses that he could be critical of Israel. At the same time, he was unequivocally supportive of Israel and Israel's right to go into the land. He didn't look at her failures and say that's why Israel's not qualified. He looked at God's faithfulness and God's calling. And so he's got a pattern which you and I can follow. It has two parts. We can be honest about the mistakes, even the errors, the sins that the government of Israel may commit, as well as people in Israel. But we can still be 100% supportive of the Jewish people having a homeland in Israel. If Moses could do it, we could do it. Now, there's always a temptation for people who aren't supportive of Israel to be 100% critical and 0% supportive. I'm not talking about that. But both Moses and Isaiah in the Haftorah look at Israel honestly, but recognize the will of God and the work of God through Israel. Now, Moses also reviews, and he teaches Israel to review too, and to look at Israel's experience, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and to look at it carefully and honestly. And in fact, every time when we read Deuteronomy, we're doing a review of events and circumstances, decisions that happened thousands of years ago, and that can empower us, it can inspire us to take stock of ourselves. If you are about to go into a whole new time in your life, you're getting married, you're graduating from college, you're taking a new job, some big change is happening to you, you're entering into new ministry, take time to review. Moses did it, you can do it too. Now, Moses, in this book, doesn't simply restate what's already been said. He's not, if you will, just copying verbatim all the details and just repeating them one more time. He's adding details, and there's a reason. He wants Israel to be better prepared to move forward, to move ahead. How do you say forward in Hebrew? Kadima. That's right. Moses is equipping Israel to go forward. Even to the very end of his life, he understands Israel has a future in the land. He wants to see it fulfilled. Review. Review what's happened, how far we've come, what's gone well, what's gone poorly, what lessons have we learned. These are very important things. And when you read the book of Deuteronomy, you'll discover some facts are included in Deuteronomy that were not included in earlier books that covered the events in some detail. And there's a reason for that. There are a couple of reasons. One of them is when you're doing a review, you're looking back at things and you see it a little differently, and you remember things with a focus that may be a little different than what you had when you were going through the situation. How many of you had teachers in high school who you didn't like? And you remember that. I've got a grandson who just did summer school because he had a teacher he didn't like. And so he didn't work hard enough. And he had to pay the price. And I asked him if he learned anything from this experience. He said, yeah, I learned even if I don't like a teacher, I need to work hard. He didn't like the teacher, the teaching method, or whatever. And so he didn't give it his best. He gave it his worst. Now, on this side of summer school, where he got a 98, incidentally, he says, I'm not going to do that again. And he analyzes and thinks about that teacher and that experience differently. In the same way, Moses, moving forward, can look back and see things a little bit differently. That's one of the reasons you get a sharper focus on certain details when you do a good review. But there is another reason why certain details are included in Deuteronomy or elsewhere, but aren't in the earlier books. And that is because the Torah wants to teach us that you don't know the whole story, that you've got to stick with it, and certain details will come out later, and you need to know what later is. I remember I was reading a book by a Jewish man who came to believe in Yeshua, but he told this fascinating story. He started reading the Gospels, and he came to the crucifixion and the death of Yeshua, and he closed the book. He didn't know the story. He was raised in an environment where he had no idea about the life of Yeshua. But he was reading the New Testament scriptures, thinking this person, Yeshua, is an interesting person. So he starts reading about him, and he starts falling in love with the Yeshua that he's reading about. And then he sees that Yeshua is suffering injustice. He's arrested, he's beaten, he's crucified, he dies, he's put in the tomb. He closed the book. He said, this is terrible. Terrible book, terrible story. He was depressed for days that extended to weeks because he didn't know the story. Now, you know the story, right? He didn't know the story. And so he's reading about the crucifixion, the death and the burial of Yeshua, this one he'd fallen in love with, and he thought the world stinks. This whole thing is awful. Well, after several weeks of being depressed, he thought, I wonder what happened next. And so he goes back to the very book that was producing such effects on him, and he reads on and he finds Yeshua is resurrected. He had no idea. He didn't know what was going to happen next. Now, you and I, we read the Bible, we become overly familiar with certain things. We read about how the Red Sea parted and we thought, oh, hallelujah, that's great, wonderful. We don't know the desperation of people who didn't know what was going to happen next. You see, their faith was developed in real time, there's a lesson for you and me. Our faith is developed in real time. You don't just become perfect in faith just because you know things in the Bible. You have to walk it out in your own life. And the Bible teaches us by its very own structure that you got to stick with things. You don't always know the end of a matter. And the Spirit of God may try to tell you the good he wants to do, and it may be hard for you to believe it. Anybody here find it easier to wake up in the morning and think about all the problems you're going to have? What's not going to work? What's going to go wrong? You have to train yourself. You have to train yourself in order to learn how to see things differently. Not all the important details are clear at the beginning. Sometimes you have to work through, you have to struggle, you have to battle in order to keep going. But as you persevere, you know what? The Spirit of God will want to whisper to you or reveal to you where you're headed. Have you ever had hope against hope? You actually believe that things can work out even though there's no evidence that they could. If it weren't for the Spirit of God speaking to your spirit, it would not make any sense at all. Have you ever had that kind of situation where your circumstances carried out to their logical conclusion should produce depression, fear, despair, hopelessness? And as that rises up in you, the Spirit of God comes to you and says, you know what? That's not how it's going to end. I'm going to do something. And you know what our job is? It's to agree with the Lord and not with our own natural understanding, and to start praying as the Spirit of God is showing us how to pray. Now, Moses not only reviews, he has purpose in what he's doing. He writes Deuteronomy, or Devarim in Hebrew, in order to prepare Israel for what's ahead. You see, it's not just history that he's writing, it's guidance. When you look back, you can see things that will be helpful. You look back in order to better prepare for moving ahead. I asked my grandson, what lessons are you learning? He said, well, one lesson I'm learning is I've got to put more time into certain studies. Just more hours. Some things come easy, some things don't. I've got to put more time in. It's a good lesson. Now, the only way you'll learn that lesson is if you want to get ahead the next time. If you found that you cut corners and you didn't put enough time in, you got to put more in. So it's important to read Deuteronomy, as we're going to for the next few weeks, and to understand this. How can I prepare myself for what's ahead? What can I learn from the experiences recounted here that will help me pay attention to where God is wanting to go? Yeshua made this remarkable statement. It's repeated several times. But in Matthew 24:13, he says, the one who endures to the end, he'll be saved. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, most people who haven't looked at the Greek behind that, don't know what the words are that are actually written in the Greek text. Matthew, incidentally, according to the old historians of the body of Messiah, was originally written in Hebrew, but we won't look at that right now. But we'll look at the Greek. The Greek says, the one who endures to the telos. Say that with me, telos. Which can be translated as the end, but that's not the deepest meaning. Telos means purpose. It means ultimate goal. It means the principal aim. So what Yeshua is saying is the full measure of salvation comes to the one who hangs on to the purpose and who holds on to God's purposes. And there are times when God's purposes are beyond the circumstances that you can see and beyond of what you could even imagine. It's important to understand that God has purpose. And if, for instance, for Moses, part of the purpose was to make Israel a holy nation. Now, when you know the unholiness of someone or a group of people, it's sometimes hard to see that. But Moses could see it despite Israel's failures. He understood that Israel should not stay in the wilderness, but get through the wilderness to the promised land. And so he held on to that, and he kept speaking about that because he wanted to see Israel fulfill the purpose. He held on to the purpose, the end goal. And that's very important. One of the reasons for Moses doing this review is people can get confused about the journey that they're on versus the destination that they're headed towards. The destination and the end goal are even more important than the journey. The journey is important. Let's acknowledge that. The journey is important, and there's a reason you can't get from here to there without going from here to there. You can't learn without the experience. You've got to learn to walk with God, and every step in the journey is important. But the journey is not the same as the destination. The journey was through the wilderness, but what was the destination geographically? The promised land, right? But what about all those beautiful places that they went through in the wilderness? Certainly, there were some places that were pleasant, and people said, this is good, let's stay here. No. Kadima, forward. The geography of the destination was important. The journey will take you out from somewhere and bring you into somewhere. But once we are there, we have to ask this question, what are we going to be like? Is the goal just to get to some destination, or is it to see something? In that destination, what can I do and what can I be? Let me give an example and then we'll close. The journey to marriage. Let's talk about that as an example. It can take us through periods of loneliness. Anybody who ever wanted to get married has had to walk through times of loneliness. Isn't that true? And anyone who has ever wanted to be married and isn't yet married, you've got to deal with loneliness. But let me help you. Don't marry someone just because you're lonely. Marry someone with whom you want to share the rest of your future with, the rest of your life. And that raises a question. What kind of life do you want to have? And how can your marriage support that life? If you're just trying to get over or through the loneliness, you could marry someone just for that reason so that you won't be lonely. But everybody who's ever been married is looking for space sometimes, right? I talk to guys, you know, who have a lot of kids, and they say, I just need to hide in the bathroom. It's the only room I can hide from, and I can't always hide there successfully because the kids are like knocking on the door, Dad, I need to come in. No. Or, Dad, I need you. And everybody needs space. So there are times when you're married, you've got a family, you'll have the opposite of loneliness. You'll be overdone with exposure to people. But if you only marry because of loneliness and you want to get rid of it, anybody could keep you company for a while, which means you can make a bad decision. I'm going to marry someone just so that I don't feel lonely. That's not a good recipe for a successful marriage. It's important to ask, what will the life together look like? What values do you want to live by together? What fruit do you want to produce for the Lord together? What difference do you want to make for the world together? Hold on to the purpose. Hold on to the destination. Hold on to the goals that you have. And don't just get stuck in the journey itself. Remember, God wants to get you somewhere. And in that somewhere, whatever that destination is, it may be temporary, it may be permanent, wherever that is, ask him, when I'm here, what do you want to do? What do you want me to be like? How do you want me to live? What do you want me to bear fruit through? As you do that, God will help you. Well, I hope that as we're exploring the book of Deuteronomy over the next few weeks, that it will help you examine your own life and where you're going. If you're at a loss and you don't know where you're going, you could get in trouble because you could be aimless. You could accept anything that gets your attention or your emotions or seems like it could be the real thing. I want to pray for you. If you need a revelation of God's calling in your own life, of where he wants you to get to, of what he wants to do, if you've entered into something new, if you're in a relationship, if you're in a marriage, and you're not sure, what's this supposed to be like? I thought it was going to be great, but it's not. It can be when you have clarity and you have vision that comes from the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are the Lord of Chazon. You are the Lord of revelation. You are the Lord of vision. You see. You are Adonai Yireh, the Lord who sees and the Lord who provides. I pray for us, Lord, that we too would be people of vision, that we would see not only where we are and what's immediately ahead, but we would see where you want us to get to, the ultimate purposes that we're working towards, the contribution that we can make through our lives. I pray, Lord, for marriages that have lost their way or are wandering aimlessly, that you would give new vision. I pray for relationships, family relationships, that are just stuck in endless struggles, that you would give new vision. I pray for those who are struggling again and again with the same old problems, that you would give new vision. And I pray for those who feel like they're perishing, that you would give new vision. And let it be, Lord, as your vision takes root in us, that it would grow and that it would bring forth great fruit in us. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. We want to close with Aaron's blessing. So please rise. Don't stand alone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat.